You're listening to audio from the 2023 Liturgy Collective Conference, a gathering that fosters rest, connection, and growth for church musicians, pastors, and worshipers. For more information, visit liturgycollective.com.
Friends, hear these words from the book that we love. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the word of the prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, ruler of the kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom priest, serving his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty.
I, John, your brother, who share with you in Jesus the persecution and the kingdom and the patient endurance, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, to Laodicea. Then I turned to see whose voice it was that spoke to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, I saw one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe with a golden sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white as white wool, white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined as in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining with full force. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and see, I am alive forever and ever. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. Now write that you have seen what is and what is to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches.
There is a morning star, my soul. There is a morning star. 'Twill soon be near and bright, though now it seems so dim and far. And when time stars have come and gone, and every mist of earth has flown, a better star shall rise on this world's clouded skies to shine forever, shine forever, to shine forever, to shine forever. The night is well nigh spent, my soul. The night is well nigh spent, and soon above our heads shall shine a glorious firmament, unutterably pure and bright. The Lamb that's slain its perfect light, unchanging and divine, that shall unclouded shine. Descend.
Welcome to the Liturgy Collective Conference. My name is Bruce Benedict. I'm a chaplain at a little Christian college in Western Michigan, up in Holland. And I brought down a group of artists and pastors. We belong to Hope College, Western Theological Seminary, and Pillar Church. And we are excited to be with you this week. When Tim shared that exile was the theme of this year's conference, I immediately thought of a project our community worked on a few years ago. In the fall of 2020, I was leading worship three times a week with my student chapel bands at Hope College to an empty chapel. Dimnit Memorial Chapel is typically filled with about 1,000 faculty, students, and staff for 22 minutes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning. But now it's sat empty, with just a worship band on stage leading songs for our campus, live streamed for our community to watch on their screens alone in their dorms, in their offices, and other spaces. If the isolation of the pandemic wasn't hard enough, to have to lead worship for an empty chapel was almost more than our hearts could bear. We experienced a profound sense of exile from our gathered community. But we know that exile is woven into the fabric of the history and language, liturgy and songs of our faith. Because words like home and sanctuary, flourishing and shalom are the guiding images of our life with God. As the great hymn says, "Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest." And as David so eloquently laid out for us earlier, our exile from the garden to the climactic homecoming in Revelation, the Lord's people have had to contend with extended seasons and various iterations of exile. And we wrestle with these seasons most palpably through creating. So as artists, we wanted to interact with the scriptural theme of exile through the language of the Revelation. Spurred on by Eugene Peterson's vision that artists are uniquely endowed to understand Revelation, we put our bodies to work creating. We could think of no better way of healing and restoring our own imaginations than spending time with the words of St. John, exiled to Patmos. So our apocalyptic, our Zion aesthetic was guided by John's faithful and cosmic imagining. So like John, we saw the vision on the Lord's day. So we gathered together with our community to fellowship and encourage one another. Like John communed with the word, we read Revelation out loud with each other and created images, liturgy, and songs to bless our community. And as John pointed his people to the throne of heaven, so we centered our lives, our hopes, and anxieties to worship with all of the saints gathered around the throne of God.
Hopefully you've found your way to the booklets on your table. We're going to sing "Christ Who Walks Amid the Lampstands."
Christ who walks amid the lampstands, first and last the living one, holds the seven stars in his hand, shines far brighter than the sun. From his lips a sword is coming, double-edged, a piercing word. Rivers roar upon a strong sea.
As we dove into the Revelation, we found there a certain language of the church in exile. As Bruce mentioned, there's an orality to it. Blessed are the ones who read aloud the words of the prophecy and who hear and who keep. These words are meant to be read aloud, meant to be embodied in a space of community. And so that's what we did. And an encouragement to you, maybe, read the Revelation aloud. Start to finish. As artists and writers in this community, we did that. We committed to eating the book as the angel commanded St. John. And as all of us are well aware, the language can sting at times. It's almost crass and upsetting in moments, confusing. Is it fair to say disappointing? There's a great line from Craig Koester. He says, many in the mainline treat Revelation like the distant cousin who does not quite fit in with the rest of the family. They prefer not to talk much or invite it to the family gatherings more often than is necessary. But as you begin to embody Revelation, the language of the church in exile maybe could be summed up with one word. Hallelujah. In the New Testament, the word hallelujah appears four times, all of which in Revelation chapter 19, a sort of culminating final chorus of the scriptures. It's the song that propels the church into its life of trials and suffering in all its many faces across the globe. Hallelujah is a word, a song that propels us on, even through the physical sounding of the word, the breath and the vowel and the melodic nature of it. And so as we say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, it sounded on our breath, and these words of the Revelation get spoken and work their way deeper into us. The people, the communities facing imminent persecution, oppression, no guarantee of safety and security, the context of the original audience, and also the context that so many of us know. And yet, in it all, not that we have to get to a certain place, but in the midst of it, the church voices and sings hallelujah. So we thought we'd sing a little hallelujah together. This is Hark the Song of Jubilee.
Hark the song of Jubilee, loud as my thunders roar. O'er the fullness of the sea, when it breaks upon the shore. Hallelujah for the Lord, God omnipotent. Hallelujah, let the word echo round the earth and may.
Sing verse 3.
He shall reign from pole to pole with illimitable sway. He shall reign when, like a scroll, highest heavens have passed away. Let me end beneath his wrath. His last enemy shall fall.
Flip back a page. Let's sing together, Like a River Glorious. We'll sing the first verse. Let's break out in harmony if we can.
Like a river glorious in God's perfect peace, over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet still flowing, fuller every day. Perfect yet still growing, deep. finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest.
Amen. Again, as we went further into the revelation, it became apparent that the visual aspect of this book evokes something of the imagination, the Christian imagination. And there have been many artistic visual expressions of this throughout the history of the church, a couple of which and some contemporary versions featured in what's printed in front of you. And often, many people have said that there's a sort of purging or refurbishing of the imagination that Revelation brings about, because there's really not much new in it. Much of the book is a riff and a reference of stuff that came in the previous 65 books of the Bible. There's so many different expressions. One that we particularly latched onto, Christina Rossetti, she wrote a nearly 300-page devotional commentary on the book of Revelation, filled with prayers and poems and hymns and devotional reflection. And we thought we could read responsively together one of these poem prayers from her collection, The Face of the Deep.
Lord Jesus, holy and majestic are you in your high places. You are the center of all life, and from you all life flows. Beautiful and majestic were you also while you dwelled with man. Even when you were the center where humiliations and sorrows met. You, who were the center of a stable with two saints and harmless cattle and some shepherds for your court, grant us loneliness. You, who were the center of Bethlehem when wise men worshipped you, grant us wisdom.
You who were the center of the temple, grant us purity. You who were the center of Egypt, which harbored your people in exile,
be our refuge.
You who were the center of all waters at your baptism in the River Jordan, still sanctify water to the mystical washing away of sin.
Help us to remember.
You who were center of all desolate places during the 40 days and 40 nights.
Comfort and desolate.
You who were center of the marriage feast at Cana.
Bless our rejoicing.
You who were the center of a funeral processional in Nain.
Bless
our mourning. You who were center of Samaria as you sat on the well.
Bring back strayed souls.
You who were center of all heights on the Mount of Beatitudes.
Grant us to sit with you in the heavenly places.
You who were center of sufferers by the pool of Bethesda,
heal us.
You who were center of all harvest ground when you went through the cornfields with your disciples, make us bring forth the harvest
30, 60, 100-fold.
You who were center of mankind, when you called unto yourself whom you would,
grant us grace to obey your call.
You who were center of love in the upper room.
Forevermore, give us that bread.
You who were the center of sorrows in Gethsemane.
You who were the center of the whole earth on Calvary.
Reign over north, south, east, and west.
You who were the center of life even while in the tomb. Forget not our weariness. Remember us. Remember all, O our all in all.
Lord, remember us when you come into your kingdom.
Amen. So it's our hope that a couple of these artistic offerings might invite you to read the book, to eat the book, to bring your imagination into the revelation, and while all the while, God invites us saying, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let everyone who hears say, come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift." And amidst God's invitation, we also pray, "Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus." And we'll conclude with a poem by Eugene Peterson and then one last refrain.
Christ, come quickly, judge my thoughts, show my sin, bear my pride, separate my sheep and goats, now, Lord, Maranatha. Christ, come quickly, tame my will, shape my hopes, save my dreams, set me high on Zion's hill, today, Lord, Maranatha. Christ, come quickly, redeem my lust, purge my loves, sift my heart, resurrect this Adam's dust, soon, Lord, Maranatha.
Christ, come quickly, open the door, show us heaven's rainbow throne, reveal the Lamb that we adore, at once, Lord, Maranatha. Christ, come quickly, make new pastures for ox and eagle, lion and man, bless the four and living creatures at dawn, Lord, Maranatha. Christ, come quickly, invite this pauper, break the bread and pour the wine, begin the glorious marriage supper. It's midnight, Maranatha.
The Spirit and the Bride.
The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let everyone who hears say, come. Let everyone who hears say, come. Anyone who hears, anyone who's thirsty, take the water of life as a gift, receive it. Anyone who hears, anyone who's thirsty, the Spirit and the Bride say, come.
Sing that, anyone who hears.
Anyone who hears, anyone who's thirsty, take the water of life as a gift, receive it. Anyone who hears, anyone who's thirsty, Spirit and the Bride say, come.
Amen. Thank you.